Back at it with you on Connecticut Today for Thursday, August 13th. Quinnipiac University Professor Emeritus David Catton joined us to talk about the changing face of malls, not only across the U.S., but here in Connecticut as well. There's word that Amazon may want to take over some anchor stores at area malls to make them distribution centers. Also, there's a plan for luxury apartments at one area mall. We checked in once again with Stratford GOP State Senator Kevin Kelly in the 5 o'clock hour. There's talk that some people are upset that there's no specific plan to allow in-person indoor visits in Connecticut nursing homes just yet as the state deals with the COVID-19 pandemic. What do about malls? And, you know, malls have kind of reopened a little bit amid the pandemic here, but you know, they had a lot of their walk-through traffic knocked down because of COVID-19. Malls are always a place for kids, youngins, to hang out to. What's the future of that? Because they're enclosed spaces. Well, now we're seeing things both on a local level and national level being discussed here. And we have malls in this area. Face it, we have the Connecticut Post Mall in Milford, the mall in Meriden, the mall in Trumbull, West Farms Mall outside of Hartford. Welcoming to the program right now, Professor David Catton, Professor of Entrepreneurship and Strategy Emeritus at Quinnipiac University. Professor Paul here at WICC. Good to talk to you. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Professor, you see these stories popping up about malls now, and one of the ones I'm sure you saw last week was, you know, go figure, who else? Amazon and their top brass, looking at taking, I guess, some of these big anchor stores, and Jeff Bezos is thinking about repurposing some of them.
Yes, the idea is to be able to provide a distribution center for people who place their orders. And this becomes, you know, a mutually beneficial concept for the mall. It brings people into the mall to pick up orders that they placed with Amazon. And hopefully they'll take a look at the other stores that are in the mall and increase their shopping.
Well, and when you come down to it, Professor, aren't malls essential? I mean, they're real estate, right? I mean, real estate isn't just houses and apartment buildings and condos. You know, these big mall owners and their big corporate giants, some of them, they've got to kind of maybe change with the times here a little.
There's been an argument that the hedge fund manager who took over Sears several years ago wasn't really that interested in turning Sears around, but was very interested in the real estate that Sears buildings were built on, and that was really where he saw that they could make money. So, yes, malls are huge real estate properties.
And they have intrinsic value, don't they, Professor? I mean, a lot of people may say, well, I shop online, this, that, and the other, but they're usually well-located. They've got tons of parking. They're usually right off an interstate. So, as an old business buddy of mine used to say, we can make something out of it, right?
Well, I'd say the old real estate adage, you know, the price of a property is a function of three items: location, location, location. And if you have proximity to major thoroughfares, it makes it a very attractive piece of property, regardless of what you're going to be utilizing it for.
Finally, Professor, I don't know whether you saw, there's a story popping up now that there is a proposal to put luxury apartments, something like 300 or 400 of them, on the back side of the property away from the Post Road in Milford, but near 95 of the Connecticut Post Mall. In Milford, the mayor's not thrilled with it, but set aside the politics of the whole thing, I think that's a really interesting idea.
You know, the analysis of malls are that about between 20 and 40% of them may not survive, but the top 20% will always be doing well. Well, what do you do with the residual portion? And one argument has been you increase the experience that people have, but I think in this particular case, the owners of the mall are looking at a very, very creative solution. You utilize part of the real estate for an income-generating facility, luxury apartments. You also have these people in a proximity to a mall. I think they're also talking about redesigning the mall, making it more of an open street environment. And basically, you almost have a captive audience to be able to come to the mall and shop. And if that shopping level isn't as high as you would want, at least you're getting the rents from luxury high-rises.
Do you think, though, Professor, final question here, are the days of the big mall developments, are those over? Are we now firmly into the repurposing here? Or do you think there's enough vacant market share for some of these big malls to still pop up?
I think if big malls do pop up, they're going to be more like the Mall of America. A huge entity that isn't just a collection of stores, but a collection of experiences. Everything from rock climbing to roller coasters to healthcare facilities to shopping, locally produced products. It's going to look very different than I think the malls that we're used to in Connecticut.
Professor Emeritus of Entrepreneurship and Strategy, Professor David Cadden, Quinnipiac University. Professor, good to talk to you again. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Appreciate it, Professor David Cadden. Stratford GOP State Senator Kevin Kelly joins us, who by trade is an elder care attorney and in the General Assembly. He's the ranking member, the Republican rep, the ranking rep on the Aging Committee. Kevin, it's Paul. How are you, sir?
Hey, pretty good yourself.
Not too bad, hanging in. So listen, we're seeing this story that broke yesterday. Kevin, it's interesting. I had a caller earlier today who said that he has had some outdoor visits with his 90-plus-year-old father at a nursing home. But now there, I guess, are more advocacy groups saying under the right circumstances, indoor visits should be allowed, circumstances allowing, in fact.
Yes, Paul. And I mean, you got to keep in mind, we do live in New England. And while we can do an outdoor visit today, I think the climate will probably change come November, December, January, February. So it's not going to be as friendly to take a 90-year-old parent out in, adverse weather conditions. So I would have hoped that the Lamont administration would have been looking at this a lot closer coming on the heels of March, April, and May, and that the greatest generation paid the greatest price for the COVID experience back then, as nearly 65% of all COVID-related deaths occurred in nursing homes. And here we are, now in August, and they really haven't come forward with a real plan. The thing here is it's always so far to date been focused on COVID and protecting individuals from COVID. But what we're not looking at is something that's equally as dangerous to seniors, and that's social isolation. Eliminating and prohibiting families from going into nursing homes, which Lamont saw early on, one of the first governors to do it, because he recognized that the transmission of the virus occurred person to person, but then didn't take the corresponding step to stop staff from going in. And it wasn't until we actually, that Lamont actually imposed the testing of staff in June, that we started to see the precipitous drop in nursing home deaths. Once again, social isolation is very dangerous and damaging to seniors, and we got to make sure that they have connection. And you can be done through technology with tablets and cameras and things like that, FaceTiming. But we also have to look like when we started to do the outdoor visits, it's still PPE protected, socially distanced. And, we need to be looking at, what's this going to look like come fall and winter?
Well, that's my next question, Kevin. And so do we know, have you heard or has anyone heard, is there any guidance, as they say, on when this policy is going to be revised or revisited? Because, as you say, it's not going to be 85 or 90 or 75 or 80 3 months from now.
No, this is the problem with this administration, is that it's not robust with trying to share information in sunlight with transparency and with the public. It likes to prefer out-of-state vendors and very tightly held information. And a lot of what we're waiting for is a third party consultant independent from New Jersey to report back, which they're saying an interim report is going to be issued next week and then the final report in September. But my problem with that is, once again, the transparency of this administration, but also what we know about our experience from March, April, and May is that a lot of the information, whether it was cohorting residents, putting them together, all the positives with positives, the negatives with negatives, the industry brought that to the administration 10 to 12 weeks before it actually occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing happened with the PPE and the testing. Is it took, you know, they knew in March that people shouldn't be going in and out, but it took until June for the administration to actually test the staff.
Hmm.
Well, the same thing goes here. If you get a report in September that tells you what to do, but it takes this administration 3 months to implement something, you're in December.
Yeah, you and I were too. We talked about that. Kevin, finally, I'm seeing here that there are some people, that is the legal opinion of some people, that continuing to, with all good intention, but continuing to restrict visits without any sort of a concrete framework or timeline might be a violation of the Americans with Disabilities Act.
I've seen that's, and there's another, the Nursing Home Reform Act.
Yeah.
That was another.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, that is a concern, but let's get back to what we're looking at. It's family members who love their parents, mm-hmm. want to get the opportunity to see their loved one. I'm sure they will practice proper PPE. You put the safeguards in place just as you would with staff. Like if you went to a doctor's office now, you get tested, you go, you know, do you have a fever? You got to answer certain questions. And look at social isolation and look at, you know, that's just as damaging as potential exposure to COVID. And you got to look at what is in the best interest of the individual that's affected, as well as the facility. And maybe there's another way. Maybe the individual can come to a more common area in the facility, and they could, just as they go to an outdoor courtyard, maybe there's an indoor room that everybody can go to that gets cleaned and is PPE and socially distance protected. I mean, there's reasonable ways if we have the time to look at this. The problem is I don't hear a conversation from the administration on how they're going to move forward, and I think that's a problem. Paul, as we have discussed in the past, you know, Connecticut has the aptitude and good people and smarts right here in our own neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And why the governor doesn't trust us is beyond me.
All right, Kevin, thank you. We'll keep watching this and have a good weekend. We appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Hey, you do likewise, Paul.
All right. Take care. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it. Republican State Senator Kevin Kelly, he's the ranking member on the Aging Committee.